Imagine, if you will, what it would feel like to have each of your natural faculties systematically peeled away from your consciousness. First, imagine you lose your ability to make sense of sound coming in through your ears. You are not deaf. You simply hear all sound as chaos and noise. Second, remove your ability to see the defined forms of any objects in your space. You are not blind. You simply cannot see three-dimensionally or identify color. You have no ability to track an object in motion or distinguish clear boundaries between objects. In addition, common smells become so amplified that they overwhelm you, making it difficult for you to catch your breath. No longer capable of perceiving temperature, vibration, pain, or proprioception, the position of your limbs, your awareness of your physical boundaries shift. The essence of your energy expands as it blends with the energy around you, and you sense that you are as big as the universe. Those little voices inside your head reminding you of who you are and where you live become silent. You lose memory connection to your old emotional self, and the richness of this moment, right here, right now, captivates your perception. Everything, including the life force you are, radiates pure energy. With childlike curiosity, your heart soars in peace and your mind explores new ways of swimming in a sea of euphoria. Then ask yourself, how motivated would you be to come back to a highly structured routine? I did a lot of sleeping that afternoon of the stroke. Well, as much sleeping as one can do in a hospital. When I was asleep, I could block out the steady stream of energy that bombarded my senses. By closing my eyes, I could close much of my mind. Light was uncomfortable, and my brain throbbed in agony when they shined that bright pen light to check my papillary reflex. The IV in the back of my hand hurt like salt in an open wound, and I craved being unconscious to their physical manipulations. So I escaped by delving back into the sanctuary of my own silent mind. Well, at least until the next neurological exam. Behind the scenes, Steve called my mom, Gigi. Gigi is my mother's nickname, stemming from her maiden name, Gladys Gilman, to tell her about the day's events. Gigi and Steve had known one another for many years from attending the National NAMI annual conventions. They were quite fond of each other. I'm sure that this was a very difficult phone call for both of them. To hear Steve tell the story, he called her and asked her to sit down. He explained that I had experienced a major cerebral hemorrhage in the left hemisphere of my brain and that I was currently at Massachusetts General Hospital. He assured her that the physicians had stabilized my body and that I was receiving the best care possible. Later in the day, my boss Francine called Gigi and encouraged her to take a couple of days to get her affairs in order so she could come to Boston for an extended visit. It was clear to Francine that I would probably need surgery. She hoped Gigi would be able to come and give me long-term care in the Boston area. Gigi never hesitated. She spent 10 years of her life trying to help my brother heal his mind, to no avail. However, she felt that she could help this child recover from her neurological trauma. Gigi turned all those years of frustration for not being able to heal my brother's schizophrenia into a plan for helping me recover my mind.